Let's turn to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. So we were singing the solid rock there. Just the thought of how so many times in my own life, you know, the solid rock was my goals or my own perceptions of different situations. But truly, Jesus is the only solid rock, and we got to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil day by day to that way. As before the Sunday school started out here, I was reading the prayer letter from Brother Wall, and in the prayer letter, he was mentioning how in Haiti, and I'm assuming, because I think it was dated January 1st, because it said Happy New Year, and so I was assuming that this was before the earthquake. But he said at that time that gas was $8 a gallon. And then he said it was supposed to go up a dollar or two more. And I'm thinking, I wonder what the gas prices could be now after the earthquake. I mean, it could be $15, $20 a gallon. I mean, I don't really know if it went up, but I mean, you just think about how they can't get gas. If the roads aren't any good. But then he went on, and hopefully we'll get to those three verses that he mentioned there, but you know, he just said even in through it all, the Lord can have us be victorious, you know, through the most difficult times. He mentioned in there about how, you know, there's a lot of missionaries he knows of who either had to come off the field and can't go back because of churches dropping their support because of the economy in America, or they had to leave the field to try to get more support, and we know they have. So, you know, a lot of times we get focused on our own little bubble, you know, and the struggles in our own bubble. And there are struggles, and I don't want to minimize those. They're legitimate. But they pale in comparison to what other people are dealing with. And for sure, they're minor compared to what the Lord Jesus dealt with for us. So James chapter 3, and let's start with prayer. Father, we do thank you for your love. We do thank you that we can have a solid rock in the Lord Jesus, and we pray, Lord, to realize that when we get saved through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that, Lord, our sins are forgiven, we have a home in heaven, but, Father, that we would have that discipline, that faithfulness day by day, Lord, to make the Lord Jesus our solid rock both for salvation and for our life. And, Lord, what a difference that makes when we do walk in your Spirit and live according to your Word. And we just pray this morning as we look into some things about our thoughts, about our words, about our hearts, Lord, that you would just lead, guide, and direct, and that we would, as has already been prayed, Lord, have the humility to let you work in our hearts to show us, Lord, where we need to improve things and where we need to continue on the right course. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So, excuse me, James chapter 3 and verse 1. James 3 and verse 1, my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater, pardon me, verse 2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the whores' guts, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, now how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so is the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed, can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded the blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. So we have quite a challenge here. We, all of us, because we might be able to think back over the last 15 minutes, half an hour, day, You know, and just think about different times when, you know, was my motivation really to help others with what I've said? Or was it proud or bitter or, I mean, so many different ways to describe. So I was going through some different verses in preparation for this about different kinds of words that we need to avoid, that we need to avoid. And let's start with Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. This is a battle that we have every day. That we have every day. We need to be in our Bibles. We need to be praying. We need to be meditating on. All of that does not take away the fact that we have the sinful nature still with us. And we all know, if we've meditated or thought about it at any length, about how it only takes one little thing to get us going, so to speak. You know, a little offense, it could be. And that offense could be taken up from what somebody may have said or what we thought they should have said that they didn't. It could be something as, just like the people chose when they talked to me, or was there maybe a little bit of sarcasm in what they were trying to say, or, you know, were they trying to, you know, take a stab at me? And, you know, being a school teacher, which is what I am, you deal with all kinds of students all day long, all kinds of students. And each one of them's unique, and each one of them has their own family situation, and it's a challenge, for sure. For sure it's a challenge. I think I see probably almost 100 different students a day, you know, in the classes that I teach. And it can be a challenge, you know, trying to deal with them, trying to figure out best how to encourage them to learn. And, well, we know as parents, you know, we need to do the same thing with our own children. But there's certain kind of words we want to avoid. First kind's here in Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4:29, the beginning of the verse there just simply says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth." Nothing corrupt, nothing evil, nothing wicked. You know, and that goes into selfish communication. You know, sometimes as a teacher, you know, I just feel really strongly about needing to make a point with a certain student about a certain issue or about their lack of effort or their lack of care. But I need to be careful not to let anything corrupt come out. Anything that's demeaning or sarcastic. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we have to walk in the Spirit if we're going to have victory in this area or in any other area. Because we need to put self aside and die to self. Well, even our own goals sometimes. Because what can happen is if we get so tightly wound with our own goals, we can sometimes see other people as interfering with us accomplishing them, you know, or our own plans and you know, how somebody's getting in the way of our plans. And we can kind of see people as an obstacle, and we should never allow ourselves to get to that point, because a person's a person's a person, and they're valued in God's eyes and in his heart, and we should never get to a point where we're as a trouble, so to speak. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for God to use us to be a minister to them. Because that's what our words should be. That's what our goals and motives should be. 1 Corinthians 2:3. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with entice, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." And so the second kind we want to avoid is enticing. You know, we see that in all kinds of preaching these days. Basically, good words and fair speeches is the motto. Make everybody feel good about themselves. Make people think that they're good enough to go to heaven. Make people think that if they're living in a certain sin, it's okay and God doesn't have a problem with it. Well, anybody who's read the Bible very much realizes that God hates sin. He loves a sinner, but he hates sin. And so a lot of times the preaching is just enticing words. It's just trying to make people feel good. You know, trying to get people to only look at the positives, but as pastors mentioned over and over about our vehicles, if we only focused on positive, we wouldn't drive any place because the battery cable's got to have a positive and a negative. And the Word of God tells us in Ephesians 4 that we've got to put off certain things. That's the negative. Stop doing this. And that's not the Sunday school teacher. That's not the preacher. That's us. Put off certain things. Stop doing certain things. And that's a challenge for all of us. And then we need to put on certain things, do certain things in their place. It's not enough just to stop doing certain things. We need to put on the right in its place. Enticing words. We're maybe making things look a lot better than they really are, because that's what a lot of people do. Now, salvation's a free gift. It's a free gift. We can't work for it. A lot of people think they're going to be good enough to make it into heaven for sure. And anybody, and any one of us that have thought about us and how we are in relationship to God's standard realizes that. We all come short. The scripture tells us we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, a lot of these different things that we're to avoid here, we fall into the trap of using these for our own gain, to further what we're trying to accomplish. And so we fall into man's methods or wisdom in regard to trying to get our goals or whatever accomplished. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 4. In verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. And see, ultimately, you know, we saw there from Ephesians 4:29 that we're to let no corrupt communication proceed out of our mouth. But then it goes on to say, but that which is good to the use of edifying, we're talking to. We want them to be encouraged. We want them to see that we're gracious. And we'll look, Lord willing, in a little bit about, that's how Jesus' words were. They were gracious. That doesn't mean we fail to give the truth. Because if we fail to do that, we're not going to be pleasing God. And if we're just trying to tell people what they want to hear, we're ultimately deceiving them, sending them down the wrong path. And so we need to be careful about that, that our goal is to please God. But then verse 5, for neither at any time use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. You know, if our goal is to just try to make the person feel better about themselves, then we've got the wrong goal. It shouldn't be to flatter them, to puff them up. It's ultimately, rather than flattery and puffing up, we need to build up. And how do we build each other up? It's by the truth. It's completely by the truth. And let's go to Ephesians 4 to see that. It's by the truth. We're built up by the truth. And in Ephesians 4, excuse me, in verse 15, Ephesians 4 and verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, the head even Christ. And so the point is, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, our goal needs to be just like Him, to be just like Christ in our thinking, in our motives, in our words, in how we spend our time, and we could go on and on down the list. But the goal is not to flatter somebody. It's to give them truth that they might become more like the Lord, because that's His goal for us. And then let's also look in right before Jude, right before Revelation at the end of the New Testament, 3 John. All the 14 verses here. We're going to look at verse 10. 3 John 10. What it boils down to is, what are we trying to accomplish? What are we trying to accomplish? And are we trying to make ourselves feel good? Are we trying to please God? Now, if we do the right thing, we'll feel good about it, for sure. And if the other person responds correctly, they'll feel good about it as well. But let's all be honest. You know, not everybody responds to that with ourselves. We'd admit we didn't always respond to the truth correctly this week. You know, there was times when the Holy Spirit's saying, wake up, this is not okay. You know, and let's, if we're honest with ourselves, we don't always say repent right away. Sometimes it takes some time. Sometimes it takes some intervention in the Lord's part. 3 John, verse 10. 3 John 10, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. And he's referring to, John here is referring to Diotrephes in verse 9. Any malicious words. We don't want any negative words, sarcastic words, condescending words, rudeness, You know, we want to avoid all this. We want to have a focus where what we're, it's a ministry. And then let's look also in 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And so all these examples here are things we want to avoid. These are the kind of things we want to put off, as it says in Ephesians 4. I think it's verse 22, 23, 24 in there. These are the kind of things we want to put off. We want to stop doing these things. So 2 Peter, in verse 2. 2 Peter 2, 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, speaking of the false prophets, false teachers in verse 1, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. And feign just means fake. It's just, really, it's phoniness. It's like hypocrisy in what we're saying. It's like telling somebody the opposite of the truth. And we want to avoid that. Now, we also have to have some wisdom. And let's turn to Hebrews, I think it's chapter 10. Yes, Hebrews chapter 10. We got to have wisdom. And I guess one of the examples that I give is, you really don't give somebody a drink out of a fire hose. Okay, because you're going to give them more than a drink. You're going to give them a shower. You're going to give them a quick seat, probably, if it hit them in the right spot. And so, you know, we got to give people what they can handle. And we don't want to give somebody a drink out of a fire hose. You know, Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. We want to have some wisdom about how much we're trying to help them understand, because, you know, it's kind of like seventh grade math. If you try to give them all the stuff they need to learn in 3 days, you know, giving them one problem of each, they're not going to learn. And they might just give up. Of course, even if you just tell them there's only one thing to learn, sometimes they don't try very hard. But anyway, verse 24 of Hebrews 10, verse 24 of Hebrews 10, another, to provoke unto love and to good works. And the point of this, of turning to this verse, is trying to help us realize that we need to be understanding of who we're talking with. You know, we need to get to know them. Now, that doesn't mean when we're in the store we can't give somebody a tract, invite them to church. You know, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying when we're trying to work with somebody to help them grow in the Lord, to help them have a bigger and a better understanding of the Scripture, we have to consider them and make sure we don't overdo it. Don't give them too much. You know, that's where our speech needs to be seasoned with salt. And so just these different things here, we're trying to avoid the swelling words, malicious, the fake ones. So many times now, the whole idea of the enticing words. You know, Paul says they didn't use enticing words. There's a reason why we don't use enticing words. It's because we don't want to trick somebody into and have them have false assurance whether or not they've ever been really, really been born again, really been saved. And too often, the methods aren't right either. But let's look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and see the things we are supposed to focus on, the things that we are. So 2 Peter chapter 3, excuse me. And basically all these just point right back to the Scripture. They all point right back to the Word of God that we have in front of us. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Peter 3, 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So what are we supposed to be focusing on? We're supposed to be focusing on the Word of God, His words, and have those be something we're memorizing and meditating upon, because we know that what we think about, that's what gets into our hearts, and we know that out of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so that's very important. Second, or let's see, 1 Timothy, verse 6, 1 Timothy 6. So the words of the prophets, the words of the apostles, that's Old and New Testament, 1 Timothy chapter 6, in verse 3. If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, and so on. But the point here is, we need to focus on the words of the prophets, the words of the apostles, and God and Jesus' words. Now, some people have a red letter edition, you know, where that's what Jesus said while he was on earth. And that's good. It's good. But we need to make sure that we realize by the Holy Ghost, he gave every word right here. And we need to focus on that too, on every word. Like Pastor on Wednesday night, he's talking about the Old Testament. It's given for our learning. It's important for us to know what happened in the Old Testament, to be able to learn from it, to have the hope we need and the comfort we need from those scriptures. Let's look at Psalm 19 here. Let's look at Psalm 19 and verse 14, Psalm 19, 14. There's a connection that we need to see here between our minds and our hearts and our tongues. Our hearts and our minds and our tongues. Generally, the problems we have, I don't want to say every problem, of course, but generally, the problems we have with our mouths can be traced back to our hearts and what we meditate on and think on and store there, and that can be traced back to our minds. And we can see here from Psalm 19:14 a little picture of this connection, where it says, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." And so what we're thinking about meditating on in our minds and in our hearts, that's what's eventually going to come out. I mean, if we're thinking as we should, let's turn to Philippians 4, Philippians chapter 4. If we're thinking as we should, that's what's going to get stored up in our hearts. That's what's going to be filling our minds, and that's what's going to come out of our mouth. But if we're storing up negative, if we're storing up disappointment, discouragement, whatever, that's what's going to come out also. So we have to be really careful what we think on. Very careful, of which I'm one. We need to be careful that we filter our thoughts in regard to our wives and our children through the Word of God. We have to do that. Our wife did something we wish she didn't, or maybe she didn't do something we wish she would have. Did that come out right? We wish she would. Anyway, you get the point. But so we're disappointed. Get over it. Get over it. Don't take it personally. The Bible says, "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Now, that's a challenge. Let's just be honest. You know, because I'll just speak for myself. I try not to speak too much for the same struggles I do, but I'm kind of selfish. You know, and I have certain expectations that I need to just stop worrying about. You know, and that's the same for all of us. You know, if our whole focus, is on ourselves, it'll eventually creep to the top, and it'll get stirred up and cause a problem. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, Philippians 4, 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true," we need to get a hold of that. "Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely." See, there's where your wife comes in, right there. "Well, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Because if we're not careful, Luke 6, because if we don't think on those things, then what we've done is we stored up wrong things in our hearts. We store up wrong treasure. Luke 6 and verse 45. Luke 6 and verse 45. "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good." And what we have to ask, are we putting into our hearts, you know, in relationship to one another in the church, our preacher, our employer, you know, our sons, our daughters, our grandsons? What kind of treasure are we building up? Well, a lot of the treasure that we can build up for one another is praying for one another. That God would, number one, give us wisdom about how to minister to them. But also just that God would bless others. You know, that's a big starting point right there, to have the right perspective about other people. And another perspective to have that's very important: we're going to disappoint each other. We're going to. Because we're all human. It's going to happen eventually, sometime down the road. And then we need to remember what the scripture says about how if we love God's law, nothing, let it slide. It's not a big deal. But we also need to remember how no matter how much other people disappoint us, that will never, ever, ever compare to how many times we disappoint. And just like God has that patience with us, we need to have that same patience one with another. But you don't know, well, I don't probably, and that's best. But you know what? God does. You know, we might think, well, you don't know how this person treats me, or you don't know what they said about me, because I heard from so-and-so that so-and-so said this, and that so-and-so heard them say this, and that so-and-so did this too. Well, that was like four people down the line, and if you ever play that little game where, you know, you whisper in the ear, and then they whisper in the ear, and they whisper in the ear, and then they whisper, you know, where does it come back from? You know, the last day of the week, Saturday, turns into, you know, we're having chicken on Sunday. I mean, who knows what it comes out as? It's crazy. So you know what? Don't even worry about it. Love each other. That's what God wants. That's what he asks from us. Let's also turn to Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Matthew chapter 12, same kind of idea, but it goes on a little bit to speaking specifically about our idle words. So Matthew 12:35, a good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure. We need to make sure that we're never depositing evil treasure in our hearts. Never. And how does that happen? It happens through our thoughts. It happens through what we meditate on, what we think about. You know, and once again, just to emphasize, you know, if we're thinking, well, this person did this to me, or they said this, it's never, ever, ever going to be anything compared to how many times we disappoint the Lord. It's just not going to be. It's never going to compare. But then verse 36, but I say unto you that every word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. We need to make sure our words are not idle. You know, I was thinking about this, I don't know when it was, a few years ago. Idle words. You know, what does that mean? It means they're not working. You know, if I'm idle, I'm not working, I'm not producing anything, I'm not accomplishing anything. And it's the same thing with our words. And sometimes we just, you know, blah, 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 you know, we're just talking, you know, little guys and girls like to do that sometimes, you know. But we need to make sure that our words are getting a job done. And we need to be careful that it's not the job we want them to get done, but it's the job that God wants them to get done. And let's turn to Ephesians 4:29. We didn't read that whole verse there, but I want us to see this. Ephesians 4:29. This was a verse that many years ago, it was one of those times where I was reading and it, like, you know, it's kind of like there's a fist sometimes that comes out from the Bible and just kind of dots you right between the eyes or smacks you right between the eyes or whatever. This was a verse like, oh boy, I'm not doing this very well. And the Lord really convicted me about it. But the first part of the verse here we read, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. But then it continues on, but that which is good to the use of edifying. What does it mean to edify something? It means to build it up. It means to build it up. And we saw from Ephesians, the same chapter here, in verse 15, that we're speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things. And the goal is that people are built up to be like Jesus. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. We need to have gracious speech. All of us do. And when we do have gracious speech, we just follow the example of Jesus that we see from Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. I think I wrote down the wrong verse. Where are we at here? There we go. 22. It says, and this is after Jesus was talking, And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Speaking of Jesus. His words were gracious. They were gracious. You know, we need to have grace one with another. We need to have patience. We need to have long-suffering. We need to be careful not to be allowing what people do, don't do, say, don't say, fester. It's like a cancer. It's like a cancer. And we get bitter. And we need to be careful. We got to cut that right off. And we got to get our thoughts on what... And real quickly here, I do want to give those three verses that Brother Wall gave, because this is kind of fitting. The first one's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. and this applies right here to our words. You know, this applies with our communication one with another. I mean, it just applies to life in general, but in our communication, because sometimes we just allow ourselves to get worked up over things. But 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, you know, this is what he was writing after, you know, gasoline's $8 a gallon. He was also saying that, you know, like fruit and vegetables were like 50 and 100% higher. Pay for it. Well, God's going to work through people for him to be able to continue on. But understand, you know, the heart and the life from which he's writing these verses down of the struggle he's having in different areas. But in verse 18, in everything give thanks. Gas is $8 a gallon. Can you imagine if we left church today? And I don't know if you go this way or if you go this way. And you got down here, there's the first gas station, $8 a gallon. They got the red light. Can you imagine? 800. Or driving down this way, there's a marathon down there, isn't there? And it said 800. How many people would drive off the road? Because they'd be like, and they're in the ditch now. But Brother Wall, give thanks. You know, then on the way to church tonight, it was $9 a gallon. And then after we left church tonight, need a new sign, wouldn't they? Because there's not even a spot for like a 10, is there? Is there a spot in there? They'd have to go up there with a paint roller, you know, and put the one next to it or something. Can you imagine? Well, let's hope we don't have to. But would we still give thanks? Would we still give thanks? In whatever we're dealing with in our own life, give thanks. And then it goes on to say, for this is the will of God. Oh, what's God's will for my life? I don't know what God wants for me. Right here, give thanks. Give thanks. No matter what. No matter what. Okay, we need to hurry. Another verse was Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. And I'm just going to read real quick. If you're there, great. Otherwise, just follow along here with my words. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Do we have a struggle with peace in our hearts? You know, do we have a struggle with this situation or that situation or this fine, or this? Maybe it's a bill. Maybe it's another person. You know, do we have trouble with that? Maybe it's some situation we're in. Do we have trouble with that? Well, the Bible says, "Thou, God, will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." But we've got to do our part. We've got to keep our mind stayed on God all the time. And the key to that is because he trusteth in thee. Do we trust God? Do we trust God? And then 1 Corinthians 15:58. This is a big key right here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable. And see, sometimes we think about, okay, I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to hold my ground right here. But you know, do we understand where that all really starts and ends? It starts in our minds and in our hearts. The steadfastness is a disposition. It's an attitude of no matter what's going on, God's good. God loves me. God wants what's best for me. And it's real easy when we get disappointed, discouraged, depressed, whatever, to think some things that aren't true. But we need to be steadfast in our mind, unmovable in our mind. You're just too dogmatic about that, or you're, well, it's just because that's what the Bible says. And the Bible tells us to be dogmatic, to be steadfast about the truth. If we don't, I've seen them in these posters that say, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything, or something like that. I mean, Taco Bell. Kind of a spiritual lesson there. I like Taco Bell. The food's good. Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And here's the key right here. When we stop working for God, our thoughts are going to go all over the place. They are. The Lord and I thought should be established. We have got to focus on being busy for God. So anyway, verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. When we are laboring for God, it's not vain. It will be something that is a benefit, and that hopefully will help us to keep moving for Him. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for your love and goodness. We thank you for your that we would put your word in its rightful place in our lives, Lord, and realize that it's the truth, that realize that's where our faith comes from. And Lord, just whatever difficulty, struggle we might be dealing with, that we would see that the answer is in your word. And Father, the good that's in us from your word, Lord, that we continue to live in that and please you. Just strengthen us for that task and just lead, guide, direct in the service to come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.